When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And after he said this, he showed them his hand and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is Messiah, Son of God. And through believing, you may have life in his name. So our gospel reading opens up just on the third day after Jesus had been crucified. The apostles are still dealing with the consequences of the death of their master, the death of their rabbi. And in dealing with this death, this gruesome death, they locked themselves into a room. They locked themselves away because they're afraid. They're afraid that what happened to Jesus just 3 days before might also happen to them. They are his followers. And so out of fear, they locked themselves away. I think they also locked themselves away because of some guilt. They failed Jesus. They're feeling awful that they didn't protect their master. They're feeling awful, Peter especially, that he denied he even knew who Jesus was as he was going through the agony that he was experiencing. They deserted him. Most of the apostles deserted him during that time. They didn't want to be around that gruesomeness. They left him alone. And so they're in this locked room dealing with the feelings of death. And Thomas, one of the 12, disappeared. He wasn't even there. I think Thomas wasn't there because he assumed it was over. The end is the end. He died. This is it. End of story. There's no one to follow now. It's the end of discipleship. But it's also the end of the community of disciples. Why join together in what we now call the church if the master is dead? These are the consequences of the death of Jesus. And now this reading helps us to deal with the consequences of the resurrection of Jesus, because he is alive, he's been raised from the dead. And the consequences are Jesus appears, he shows up in the midst of their fear. They're afraid, and Jesus shows up, he's there, he comes to them in their fear and in their guilt. And his first words to them are, "Peace, peace be with you." Jesus brings them shalom. That's a simple translation of the Hebrew word shalom, is peace. But it's much more than that. When Jesus offers them peace, he's offering them well-being. Jesus is telling them that our relationship is not broken, and your relationship with each other is not broken. Jesus is saying that now things can be put right. There will be justice. There will be comfort. There will be compassion. This is how we will deal with death. We will deal with death where life abounds. And so Jesus offers them this shalom. It's a deep inner sense of the Spirit that Jesus offers to them. And the biblical word shalom is used, when it is used, it most often means that we are so filled with shalom. The shalom, the peace that Jesus gives us, fills us up so much that it overflows. My cup runneth over. It spills over into the lives of others. So when Jesus gives peace, when Jesus gives shalom, he's giving so much that it spills over. And then Jesus breathes. He breathes on them the Holy Spirit. And now they can understand what happened. His death was gruesome, but out of that death comes life. When he gives them the Holy Spirit, they realize this is a moment of life. And he gives them the Holy Spirit who will guide them. They are still disciples. They are still a group of disciples. And they have now the Holy Spirit to guide them as Jesus sends them out. And Jesus blesses them. He gives them shalom. He breathes on them and gives them the Spirit. And he blesses them. The Greek word for blessing here is makarios. Very much like the Beatitudes. Blessed are those who believe. Blessed are you when you believe. Makarios means much more than just being blessed. It's very much like the word shalom. It has to do with our well-being. When Jesus blesses us, he blesses our entire hearts, minds, bodies, and souls. Jesus is telling the disciples that blessed are you because now you are in a good relationship with God, in a right relationship with each other. So Jesus offers this shalom. I always used to simply think that Jesus is offering three shaloms, peace be with you, three times. But as I studied this reading this past week, I think Jesus is offering three kinds of shalom. Shalom is such a deep, important word. First of all, they're there in fear, and Jesus comes and says, shalom. Your fears are taken away. Jesus gives shalom instead of fears. And then Jesus talks about forgiveness. The shalom of you've got guilt, you've got sin in your life, you've got denial, you've got desertion. Shalom. Jesus takes that away. Jesus takes away the fear. Jesus takes away the sin by offering forgiveness. And then Jesus gives faith. Shalom is so important. The shalom that Jesus offers is so important that Thomas responds, "My Lord and my God." Thomas comes out with one of the most profound statements of faith, one of the most profound prayers in Scripture, "My Lord and my God." That's the shalom that Jesus offers. Takes away fear, takes away sin, forgives us, and gives us faith, stronger faith, faith in the resurrection. And then he sends out the disciples. This shalom that Jesus gives us is so strong that it spills over, that as disciples of Jesus, we can do no other than go out and give to others the shalom that Jesus gives to us. Many years ago, I adopted a theory about Thomas that I still hold to this day. We're told in Scripture a few times that Thomas was called the twin, but we're never given the name of the other twin. We never hear that. So Bible scholars guess that it might be, some even say Matthew. Some say that it might be a twin who didn't follow, but Thomas was a twin. My theory is that it became a nickname for Thomas by the other apostles. Earlier in the Gospel of John, in chapter 11 to be exact, Jesus was talking about going to the cross, and Thomas said, "Let us go to Jerusalem with him and die with him. Let us do what Jesus is going to do." And the apostles, again, this is a theory, called him the twin. You want to do exactly what Jesus is going to do. So Thomas becomes a twin to Jesus. When Jesus sends out the apostles, he is sending us out as twins of Jesus. As he offers shalom to take away fears, as he offers shalom to forgive, as he offers shalom to bring faith, we are called to do the same. We're called to go out and to be a twin to Jesus, to do what Jesus did, to offer the love and the kindness and the compassion, the forgiveness, the life that Jesus offered. We are twins of Jesus, as Thomas was. To me, one of the most fascinating parts of this reading, in my iPad, I've split up the reading into four parts. The first three parts are the story of Thomas, the first week where he wasn't there, and then the second week. But the last part of it is what I consider the breaking of the fourth wall. Now, you know I like the theater and movies and film. There's an idea of the fourth wall. So when you're watching a movie, say you're watching a movie on TV, there are three walls, and that's where the actors are, and you're looking in, watching them. Every once in a while, and I'm sure you've seen films like this, TV shows or movies, where the actor will move up to the camera, look into the camera, and talk to the audience. That's called breaking the fourth wall. They're not supposed to know we're out there, but they'll break the fourth wall and they'll come in and they'll talk to us and say, well, and that's what John, the storyteller, is doing. John is breaking the fourth wall. Jesus had just said, "Blessed are those who will come to believe." That's us. Jesus said, "Blessed are you because you have seen me and now you believe." And Jesus says, "Blessed are those who will believe." And then John looks out and says, "This is about you." That story you just heard about Thomas, that story that you just heard with the three kinds of shalom, this is about you. This is a story for your life. And I think John is breaking that fourth wall, not just for the people of his day, but for the people of all time. for us. John is speaking to us. John is telling us that this shalom that Jesus offers is for you. And John has this mission. And so he's looking out to the fourth wall and says, I want you to believe that Jesus is Messiah. I want you to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. That's why I've told you all these stories. That's what those stories are all about. I want you to believe. I want you to have that shalom that was offered 2,000 years ago. John's looking out to us and saying, that shalom is for you today so that you may have life in his name. John is saying that this life that you're living now can have that shalom. You can experience the shalom that Jesus offers right now. You can have that forgiveness right now. You can have deeper faith right now, and it will spill over and you'll give it to everybody you meet. John is saying this story is for your life. For your life now, for the way you live now. And it's also for your eternal life. Just as Jesus was raised from death, when you die, you too will receive new life. You too will receive resurrection. This story is for you. Let us pray. Think now of the people in your lives, families, nations, where shalom is in short supply, where shalom is needed. Think of those people, those families, those nations where shalom seems to be lacking. It's not even there. Think of all those who struggle, locking themselves away, keeping away for fear and for guilt and for sin. And as you think and pray for all of these, hear the voice of Jesus saying to us and saying to all these, Jesus is breaking the eternal fourth wall by saying to us, Shalom be with you. Shalom be with you. Shalom be with you.